So sometimes the biggest roadblock in mastering a new language, isn't grammar at all.
Right, it's completely psychological.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive, where we're actually taking you into a raw transcript from a genuine English coaching session. We really want to bypass the polished textbooks for you and, see how non-native speakers actually navigate the messy reality of conversation.
Yeah, and it really is messy. But we're starting with this tiny, like, three-letter word that completely rewires a learner's brain. The word is yet.
Oh, I love this part.
Right, because when a learner hits a wall and says, I don't know how to do this, or I haven't planned, just adding yet to the end of that fundamentally shifts the goalposts.
Because it instantly turns a dead-end statement of, defeat into an active ongoing plan.
Exactly. The learner stops seeing their current limitation as this permanent failure. And linguistically, I mean, this mindset of ongoing action happens to be the exact psychological key you need to unlock one of the most notorious hurdles in English.
The present perfect
Oh,
tense.
yeah. The dreaded present
Yes.
perfect.
Which I think is easiest to explain like this. The simple past is basically a diary entry, right? You write, I traveled to Rome last year.
Right. It's dated. It's done. You've closed the book.
Exactly. But the present perfect, like saying, I have traveled with him before, that is a passport stamp.
That's a really great way to put it.
Yeah, because the specific date is totally irrelevant. What matters is that you carry that experience with you right now.
And this ongoing state of having done something, it connects right back to that yet mindset we just talked about.
Right, like you haven't done it yet, but the blank page in your passport is just sitting there waiting.
Waiting for the ink. Exactly. It's an active anticipation rather than a closed file.
Yeah.
But, grappling with how a language perceives time naturally brings up a lot of anxiety for learners.
Oh, for sure. Which bleeds right over into how they communicate their emotions. Like
Yeah.
in the transcript, there's this constant struggle with word endings.
Yeah, the mixing up of excited and exciting.
Yes. Why is that so hard for people?
Well, it really boils down to causality. If you're trying to describe an internal feeling, like how you feel, you use the ed ending. He feels excited.
Okay. That makes sense.
But when the external situation is the thing actually causing the feeling, you use ed ending. The situation is exciting.
Wait, so if I say I am boring, I'm applying an N ending to myself. Does the rule break down there?
Not at all, actually. If you say, I am boring, you are identifying yourself as the external cause of boredom for everyone around you.
Oh, wow. So I'm the problem.
Yeah, you are the situation inflicting the feeling. You'd say, I am bored to describe your internal state. It's entirely about who or what is generating the emotion versus who is experiencing it.
That is so interesting. But I mean, when a learner is trying to process that causality on the fly, they often default to translating directly from their native language.
Oh, the direct translation trap, yes.
Right. And our source session involves a native Portuguese speaker, and these literal translation traps create total conversational chaos. Like at one point, the speaker says they are going to find a new person.
Yeah, and the coach has to step in and explain that you find a lost water bottle, but you meet a person.
Right.
And this happens because direct translation ignores how concepts are actually mapped in different languages. In Portuguese, the verb encontrar is used for both finding an object and meeting a person.
So the learner's brain just grabs the first English equivalent.
Exactly. Without realizing, English splits that concept into two distinct actions depending on your intent.
Which leads to an even more dangerous trap in the transcript. I mean, the possessive pronoun mix-up.
Oh, yeah.
That one's rough.
The speaker accidentally says your family when they actually mean my family.
It completely derails the conversation.
Totally. Because you think you're sharing a nice memory about a trip with your own family, and the listener is, completely confused, wondering when you went on vacation with their family.
Right, it's so confusing. But it highlights the danger of relying on your native language's syntax scaffolding. I mean, mastering English requires abandoning that rigid mapping of your mother tongue. Yeah, you're actually adopting a new architecture for reality. It goes way beyond just memorizing vocabulary
Way
lists.
beyond, you are physically rewiring how your brain perceives time with those tenses.
And how you assign emotional agency with a simple aided or ig
All right,
suffix.
it forces you to completely rethink your relationship to the world around you, step by step.
So that leaves you with something pretty wild to think about. If swapping a diary entry for a passport stamp using the present perfect requires you to actually conceptualize time differently, well, to what extent does your native language secretly dictate your entire worldview?
Right, like are your thoughts permanently locked in a rigid diary entry?
Or are you just waiting for the power of yet?